The State of Food and Agriculture is FAO's flagship publication that's been produced since 1947. In recognition of the International Year of Family Farming, the SOFA this year focuses on how to promote innovation among family farms to achieve sustainable food security and poverty alleviation. The SOFA is produced by a large team of people, which is in the organization, but also in other agencies and academics, and it's coordinated by a small group that's sitting here, which I profusely thank. Now, but how many family farms are there and why they're so important so we have an International Year of Family Farming? FAO has produced and published estimates for the first time, first of the total number of farms, which we estimate to be about 570 million farm units in the world, of which 90%, as the Director General said, or about 500 million are family farms. That is owned by an individual or group of individuals, but not by a corporation or by a religious entity, etc. Family farms operate 75% of farmland and produce about 80% of food. This is a very large group and also an extremely diverse group. Most of the world's family farms are very small. Worldwide, about 72% of all farms are less than 1 hectare, about 410 million farms, and about 84% of the world's farms are less than 2 hectares, about 475 million farms. Now, so this stark inequality of in land distribution is actually the characteristic of higher middle income and high income countries. For lower middle income countries, small and medium sized farms dominate. And this is a very important group, as the Director General said. So here, more than 90% of all farms are smaller than 5 hectares. Now, so due to the large numbers, the land they occupy, and their contribution to food production, family farms are clearly central to achieving food security, sustainable development, and poverty reduction. The future of sustainable agriculture would rely to a huge extent on the future of small farming. Now, the challenge for all of them is that they need to face the challenges of declining resource base or degraded resource base. The challenge of feeding more than 9 billion people by 2050 and the challenge of lifting a large number of households out of extreme poverty. Now, many of them are themselves poor and food insecure. Small farms, we all know, they achieve higher yields than large farms in their own country, in their own context. However, their labor productivity, which at the end of the day determines their returns, their income is low. And this is a challenge that has to be overcome. We need to raise the productivity of family farms in order to leave those out of poverty, but also help others. The key message of SOFA is that innovation is key to meeting these challenges. Innovation means doing things better and using new knowledge. Through innovation in agriculture, farmers can improve their production and farm management practices. This may involve planting new crops, varieties, combining traditional practices with new scientific knowledge, applying new integrated production and post-harvest methods and practices, changing the organization and management of the farm, and or engaging with markets in new, more rewarding ways. So you see, the concept of innovation is not just increasing yields. It's a broader concept that we use in SOFA. However, innovation requires more than action by farmers alone. The innovation process today, vis-a-vis the Green Revolution, is more complex. It involves many actors, long supply chains, environmental challenges, diverse institutions, and many stakeholders. Those things have to be taken into consideration. The innovation system also is supposed to produce results that not just about yields, but about sustainable yields. Now, our position is that the public sector, as the Director General says, working in concert with the private sector and the farmer organizations in a participatory manner, is key in in creating an innovation system while all these actors interact and contribute. So we know that there are some fundamental principles that hold for all farmers, smaller or bigger, which is a stable economic environment, access to markets which will give them the extra incentive to innovate, etc. Now, as I said, the family farming picture is characterized by big diversity. On one hand, you have the large family farms, which are large business ventures, and they can manage by themselves this whole innovation process. They need a stable economic environment. They need stable institutions, infrastructure, etc. Now, there is another group, which is small or medium-sized farms, which are already market-oriented and supply local, national, or international markets. Others have the potential to become commercial, given the right incentives, access to markets, and support. Those types of farmers need some assistance. In addition to being in the innovation system, they need some assistance to face the risks associated with innovation and the high startup costs combined with uncertain returns. So this is a very important part of what these farms need. Farmers' organizations here, they can also play a fundamental role in linking those farmers to the innovation system. And then you have the subsistence smallholder farmers, which they have little potential for commercial production, or they don't yet have a potential in commercial production. The effort here is to link those smallholders, those substantial farmers, as much as possible to the commercial production, to become commercial farmers. But we also have to think that no innovation systems may not be sufficient to do that. We need other targeted policies, including rural development, etc., to make sure that those people are lifted out of poverty. So combination of innovation, other farm measures, and also non-farm rural development. Finally, key to innovation traditionally is the agricultural research and development and advisory services. Lots of empirical evidence also presented in SOFA shows that public agriculture R&D and extension services are particularly effective in promoting increasing agricultural productivity and poverty reduction. And yet, funding for R&D and extension services is not enjoying the priority that the results of its effectiveness show. So private investment in agriculture R&D and extension services are growing rapidly. Also, provision of extension services by NGOs, farmers' organizations, and others is also becoming increasingly important. We think that public sector investment remains indispensable to ensure research and extension in areas that are of little or no commercial interest to the private sector, like orphan crops, marginal areas, etc. This includes more basic research and research to meet the needs of smallholder farms and, as I said, orphan crops. Agricultural R&D can become more effective through international cooperation and partnerships among national and international research centers. We don't expect countries with little capacity of R&D to do basic research, but they can do adaptive research where basic research is done by somebody else. We need to build on farmers' knowledge on R&D and involve the farmer organization and the farmer themselves in the design of research and development programs. So here I quote the Director General. Combining traditional knowledge with formal research can yield truly innovative approaches to support sustainable productivity growth. Finally, the advisory bodies today, what we call extension, are called on to offer a much broader range of services than in the past, including areas such as farm management and product commercialization, etc. Increasingly, those services are provided by multiple actors, in addition to public extension services. This includes, as I said, private sector and civil society. It is important that advisory services are provided in a participatory manner, also including small producer organizations. Evidence shows that small farms are particularly handicapped in their access to extension today. Again, governments have a role to play to create the proper conditions for all actors involved in advisory services, such as the building of infrastructure, education and training, ensure that advisory services provided by the private sector and other actors are environmentally friendly, socially acceptable, and economically appropriate. So that addresses environmental concerns, confronting the spread of crop and livestock diseases, that's a major public duty, and food safety issues. All this and a lot more you can find in our publication. Thank you very much for your attention.